Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text 21. Swarnam yata gravasu hema kara kshetreshu yogai tat abhigya apnuyat kshetreshu deheshu Tata Atma Yogai Adhyatmavit Brahmagatim Labeta Swarnam Yata Gravasu Hema Karaha Swarnam yata gravasu hema kara. Kshetreshu yogais tarabhigya apnuyat. Kshetreshu deheshu tatatma yogar. Adhyatma vid brahmagatim laveta. Swarnam yata gravasu hema kara. Kshetreshu yogais tarabhigya apnuyat. Kshetreshu deheshu tatatma yogar. Adhyatma vid brahmagatim labeta. Ladies, Kara. arise. Swarnam gold. Yata just as gravasu in the stones of gold ore. Hema Kara, the expert who knows about gold. Shetreshu, in the gold mines. Yogai, by various processes. Tat Abhigya, an expert who can understand where gold is. Apnuyat, very easily obtains. Kshetreshu, within the material fields. Deheshu, the human bodies, and all the rest of the 8,400,000 different bodily forms. Yata, similarly, Atma Yogai, by spiritual processes. Atmavit, Adhyatmavit, one who is expert in understanding the distinction between spirit and matter. Brahmagatim, perfection in spiritual life. Labheta, may obtain. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold, and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body. And thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can obtain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. So please repeat. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold, and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body. And thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can obtain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Purport. Here is a very good example concerning spiritual understanding. Foolish rascals, including so-called jnanis, philosophers, and scientists, cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body because they are lacking in spiritual knowledge. The Vedas enjoin, tad vigyanartham sagurum eva bigachet. To understand spiritual knowledge, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Unless one has been trained in geology, one cannot detect gold and stone. Similarly, unless one has been trained by a spiritual master, he cannot understand what is spirit and what is matter. Here it is said, Yogais Tad Abhigya. This indicates that one who has connected himself with spiritual knowledge can understand that there is a spiritual soul within the body. However, one who is in an animalistic conception of life and has no spiritual culture cannot understand. as an expert mineralogist or geologist, can understand where there is gold and can then invest his money to dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore. An expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within matter. One who has not been trained cannot distinguish between gold and stone. Similarly, fools and rascals who have not learned from an expert spiritual master what is soul and what is matter cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. To understand such knowledge, one must be trained in the mystic yoga system or finally in the bhakti yoga system. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:55, bhaktya mam abhijananti, unless one takes shelter of the bhakti yoga process, one cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita begins by teaching, deno smindyata dehe komaram jovanam jara tata dahantara praptir diras tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. The Bhagavad Gita 2:13. Thus, the first instruction is that one should understand that the soul is within the body and is transmigrating from one body to another. This is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Any person who is not expert in understanding this science or is unwilling to understand it remains in the bodily concept of life or in the animalistic concept of life as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri daruke sa eva gokara. Every member of human society should clearly understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Only in this way can one be spiritually elevated and automatically give up the false illusory knowledge by which one thinks, I am this body, and everything belonging to this body is mine. Aham mameti. This dogish conception should be rejected immediately. One should be prepared to understand the spirit soul and the supreme spirit God, who are eternally related. Thus one may return home back to Godhead, having solved all the problems of life. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swamite Namane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskya Dhyade Siddharane Ite Vidu Swarta Katim Hi Vishnu Dharashaya Ye Bahya Artamanina Andaya Tandira Pagyamanas Te Pisha Tantra Urudami Bara Ite Vidu Swarta Katim Hi Vishnu. Generally, people have no idea that the actual aim of life is to reach Vishnu. And if one doesn't know that the aim of life is to reach Vishnu, then Dharashaya Ye Bahya Artamanina. One will choose some other goal. There's only one goal everyone has. That is to become happy. Everyone wants happiness, pleasure. That begins with peace, because as Krishna says, without peace, where is there any question of happiness? But in the absence of knowledge, one identifies oneself with the body, and therefore peace means to protect the body, the temporary body, for a few minutes longer. There are so many problems confronting the body, old age, disease and death, and one can prolong one of these problems or ameliorate a little bit one of these problems, one becomes a little bit peaceful and they consider that happiness. But Krishna says, nasti buddhi yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, nacha bhavintak shantir ashantasya kutak sukham. For one who's not in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? In other words, if we're not experiencing happiness in Krishna consciousness, then we must be looking for happiness somewhere else. And even if we're trying to perform the activities of Krishna consciousness, dancing or chanting, but if we're not absorbed in the dancing and chanting, it means that we're distracted somehow or another by some anxiety about the past or the future of our material existence. And if one is distracted, one is not concentrating on Krishna, one is not Prasannatma, because without being Prasannatma, one cannot actually be receptive to the holy name. Without being joyful, without giving up hankering and lamentation, without being free from anxiety, one cannot be open to the happiness of Krishna consciousness. Krishna does not want to interfere with our independence, and if we're determined to stay here and suffer, then Krishna will give us all possibilities to do that, including the proclivity to believe that I'm supposed to be suffering. That's my constitutional position. Someone has to give out that misconception. As Krishna says, sharira yadavapnoti yatschapyukramatishraha grihivaitani samyati vayorganda ivashya. The living entities, they're carrying their different conceptions of life, just like the air carries aromas, from one body to another, and thus they take one kind of body and again quit it to take another. So we have this conception and we firmly believe in it. Whatever conception the soul acquires from the illusory entity, he actually believes is real, is actually reality. Even Krishna says, your body's changing or our bodies are changing, but we're not changing. Even we have the intelligence to perceive that, still somehow or another, due to the illusory energy, we remain attached to the bodily concept of life. And there are so many varieties of bodily concepts of life. The soul, though it's pure, he acquires these conceptions just like the air is pure, but when the air passes through a rose garden, it smells very nice. And when the same air passes through garbage, it smells very unpleasant. The air is always pure, but due to association with either roses or with garbage, it takes on a certain quality. The soul is always pure, but due to association with the modes of material nature, sometimes it appears good, sometimes it appears bad, sometimes it appears as a combination of both. And that depends upon the body and the subtle mind that we're associated with. Therefore it says, Shrotram Chakshush Varasanam Cha Rasanam Graham Eva Cha Adishtayam Anakchanya Vishayan Upasevate. Thus he takes a particular type of hearing, srotram, chakshu, sight, sparshanam, cha, rasanam, gram, eva, cha. Sight, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, all grouped about the mind, and thus he enjoys a particular set of sense objects. The soul is attached to this body because he believes he's going to enjoy at some point or another. And he's desiring that a certain arrangement be made where the senses will contact their objects and then it'll be bliss or romance or whatever you want to call it. And then the bells will ring and the trumpets will play, the birds will fly in the sky and everything will be wonderful, happily ever after. So everyone has this conception, we're just missing our soulmate, or missing the right amount of money. It's, you know, if I'm a billionaire, then everything will be perfect. Or a trillionaire, or a quadrillionaire. Just a little bit further, and everything will be all right. And in every species of life, they're endeavoring hard in a particular set of senses, all grouped about the mind. So a bird thinks I'm a bird, I just need one more twig and my nest is finished. And the human being is building a skyscraper, one more brick and we're done. We're never done, actually. It's always one more brick, one more chasing after the carrot, the donkey chasing after the carrot with a heavy load on his back. It's always one more step, and there's no end to it. Therefore, Krishna says, Ukraman tam sitim vapi bunjana vagunan vitaha vimudo nanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. Human life is meant to be trained in this knowledge how we're a spiritual soul trapped by the illusory energy. And what is the process to get out of this entanglement? Prabhupada has given us, for instance, the instructions how to perceive the world. Srila Rupa Goswami explained to us how to perceive reality, that there is a God, and He's our object of love. He's the source of love. He's unlimitedly loving, and He's unlimitedly lovable. And if we want to love, if we want to be happy, then we have to focus our attention, give our love to Him. And God includes not only His original form as the Supreme Lord holding a flute in Vrindavan, but all His expansions, including His pure devotees, are also instruments for the Supreme. So we have to learn how to properly reciprocate with them, according to the six loving exchanges and according to their relative positions or absolute positions on the spiritual platform. Then to the innocent, we're supposed to see them as the objects of Krishna's mercy, and we're supposed to become instruments for Krishna in order to help them come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. And for those who are envious of Krishna, who have dedicated their lives to avoiding Krishna, then we should avoid them so as not to cause them to commit any more offenses than they're already committing, and that we don't waste our time, but we spend it in something productive, namely trying to develop our own Krishna consciousness and helping others awaken their Krishna consciousness too. That is the actual process of recognizing Krishna. Not that we simply say, yes, I believe in Krishna, I'm a card-carrying Hare Krishna, I attend every year Janmashtami once every other year, and therefore I'm a good devotee. Or whatever we may conceive of what is a devotee, but actually to recognize Krishna means to, in the beginning, to recognize those four categories. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and to try to love Him. That's recognizing Him. To see the devotees not as competitors, not as people we're supposed to neglect or avoid or whatever else, but as objects of service in varieties of ways, of loving exchanges. And to see the innocent and try to help them to the best of our ability, to try to understand that they're also spiritual souls. They may be in the bodily concept of life, we may be in the bodily concept of life, but that doesn't mean that being in the bodily concept of life makes us a body. We should not look at the materialist as a body. We should look at the materialist as a soul in a bodily concept of life. And we know, according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, yatantas yoginam chaiva pashantyatma yavastitaha yatanto yakritatmano naivam pashantya chetasaha. The endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. But those who are eyes and not trained, can, although they may endeavor in so many different ways, cannot see what is actually taking place. We should not be fooled by the fact that the materialists, they're spending billions and trillions of dollars on so many different so-called scientific endeavors. Microscopes, telescopes, huge museums dedicated to so-called ancient history, archaeology, geology, paleontology, whateverology, spending so much time, but they're not trying to endeavor to purify their consciousness, therefore all they see is dead bones. They can't see beyond the flesh and bones, or even they open the body up They see the heart, they see the lungs. All they can see is machine, but they can't see the person who is actually the passenger and running the machine. Therefore, they're actually in ignorance. Although they may spend so much energy, sincerely endeavor in so many different ways to try and understand what is reality and what are they trying actually to do. They're trying to avoid old age, disease, and death. They're hoping, let us cut open all these mice and pigeons or whatever else they do. And that way we'll try and figure out how the body works. And in that way we'll be able to keep it running perpetually. When it's about to die, we'll give it a little bit more gas and get it going. We'll jump start it. He's dead. Ah, he's back again. All right. They're hoping against hope that by some taking apart, taking apart the cell, they'll find out what's making the whole thing tick. But they'll never try to look for God. Hiranyaksha, after he's killed by, well, Lord Raha killed Hiranyaksha, and Hiranyakashipu looked everywhere, the universe, looking for Lord Varaha. So Lord Varaha, he became very small and entered into Hiranyakashipu's heart. Because Hiranyakashipu would never look for a God within his heart. So the materialists will look everywhere for their source of being, for the source of creation, but they'll never try to endeavor to understand the Supreme or even themselves. Because they're overwhelmed by ahankara balam dharabam, ahankara, this false conception of life. They don't want to get free from it. They want to cultivate it. They're going exactly in the wrong direction. Only for one who's fortunate enough to hear from Krishna and from Krishna's representatives can discover the soul within their heart and ultimately discover the soul, super soul. But if their aim of life is to avoid the super soul, if their aim of life is to somehow or another help others avoid the super soul, help others avoid the soul, simply, as Krishna says, Matirna Krishna Parataksato Va Mito Bipadyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobir Vishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvita Charvanana. This is Prahlad Maharaj. He says, what is the problem? There's so many problems, and everyone's trying to solve the problems in their own way. But they never take shelter of Krishna to solve their problems. Instead, they think their problems will be solved if somehow or another they can find the perfect means of sense gratification. Their conception is the body, and they want to cultivate the body more and more by exercise, personal exercise, or a health regime, or medicine, or whatever else they're going to utilize to keep the body going in spite of old age, in spite of disease, in spite of impending death, just like Dhritarashtra. Up until the last moment of life, he was going to stay in his palace and try to keep the old body going. Although his eyesight was failing, his teeth were falling out, he couldn't hear anything, although he was coughing up mucus. Somehow or another, he was hoping they were going to discover a pill, he was going to take it, and become 15-year-old Dhritarashtra again. But it didn't happen like that. Finally, he realized it was not going to happen, and therefore he made some endeavor by hearing from an authoritative source how to make some spiritual advancement. The materialists, they don't understand that because they have faith, somehow or another, hearing from all these so-called expert, educated materialists, don't worry, it'll be all right, she'll be right, mate, it's all right. They think, we're going to solve all the problems, we're going to come up with the perfect solution, you won't have to die, just hang on there for another 20 years, and it'll be all right. We're almost there. We're almost there. And in the meantime, here's a lollipop. Suck on it. It's an expensive lollipop. It's just going to cost you your whole life. But suck on it for a while till we come up with the perfect solution. Then you'll get a perfect body, perfect family, perfect society. Everyone will be happy. You'll be in the materialistic heaven, and we'll show those fanatic Hare Krishnas. So they're dreaming. It's been a dream since time immemorial, and it'll continue to be a dream in the material world, that it'll be all right. But it's not all right now. It wasn't all right in the past. And it'll never be all right in the future. Well, the only thing is to take shelter of Krishna. So for those who've taken shelter of Krishna, who've given up Naisham matis tavada rukraman green sprishat yanarto bhagavad yanarto mahiyasam pararu javisekam niskinchananam nanivrita yadvat. For those who have actually given up this idea that we can find shelter in the material world, who have actually taken shelter of the lotus feet of those who have taken shelter of Krishna, then we should hear from them how to take shelter of Krishna. It may seem very repetitive. We hear it again and again because we haven't heard it. But if we hear a little bit, then we'll know how to regulate our senses, regulate our mind, engage them more in Krishna's service, more with the attitude of devotion, less enviousness, less reluctancy. We'll be able to refine our devotional service, and then we'll actually be able to chant Hare Krishna and be happy, free from anxiety, knowing well that we're eternal, everyone's eternal, everything is going on according to Krishna's plan. And if we become Krishna's plan, part of Krishna's plan, whatever we're doing is perfect. Whatever we're doing is good for ourselves and good for everyone else. We're never going to save everyone because we're not the super soul. And even the super soul, he's trying to save everyone, but not everyone wants to be saved. But at least we can be sure if we take to this process with all sincerity, we're going to save at least one person, namely ourselves. One soul. And Krishna will be happy even if he can come out with one soul from the whole thing. Prabhupada said the red cross, the blue cross, whatever cross you may have, they're appreciated because they're trying to help others. But he said actually the real help is ultimately to teach, give people transcendental knowledge. But even better than that, the highest of all, the best thing, is to at least save oneself. Therefore, nimitra matram bhavasavasachin, knowing well, we may not know perfectly the science of Krishna consciousness, but as much as we have faith in Prabhupada, who actually knows the science perfectly, as much as we take shelter of his instructions in the form of his books, in the form of his example, as far as he points out the example and the instructions of other great Mahajans, just like Prahlad Maharaj and others, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo Manu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmo, Vayaravas, Vyasakir, Vayam. As Prabhupada has explained what their teachings are, as much as we take shelter of them, as much as we give the shelter of these teachings to others by simply repeating according to our present level of understanding, then the result is that our progress is guaranteed. And at the end, we'll get the perfection of life. We'll no longer believe that we're this body or that anything belonging to this body, in relation to this body, is ours. Instead, we'll think we're Krishna's servant, and we're the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And everything in this world is simply an opportunity to serve Krishna. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Yes, Tatvavit.
Thank you, Maharaj. You were discussing a bit about how medical technology is advanced now, and it says to people, we'll keep you alive, you know, a long time. And my question has to do with this. Because normally, you know, people might have died. Suppose they get in an accident, you know, and there wasn't 100, 200 years ago so much advanced technology and an ambulance to come and rescue them. They might have just died.
Well, 200 years ago, you wouldn't have gotten hit by a car.
That's right. Good point. But anyway, I was thinking of this recently because we had some devotees, and it happens from time to time, we had some devotees who get in a car accident, and then the ambulance comes, and practically speaking, the technicians are the ones who are deciding, okay, let's save this person right away. It's our, you know, duty. Now, you have much experience as the health minister in ISKCON, so I'm asking this question to you for this reason. It's also the case that sometimes devotees are ill, and they don't have the money to pay the medical bills to maintain themselves. Sometimes they make a miraculous recovery, like these devotees in Sweden. The doctor said, you know, you're recovering, only 1 out of 10,000 persons recovers like you. And so Krishna helps sometimes. And my question is, what can you generate?
I don't know. What happened to the devotees in Sweden who got into the car accident?
They got in a car accident, yeah. And it looked very bad. Their necks were, at least one neck was broken. And there's a very good chance she'll recover. So Krishna seems to be taking a part in that. And I was just wondering if you could generalize about, you know, because you have much experience in the health field, when is it good to avail oneself of care, and when is it good to just let go and say, you know, it's just time to go?
Well, that takes some intelligence. And if we don't have the intelligence, we should find out from someone who does have intelligence. There's a science, like in Ayurveda, it mentions that there are different levels of disease. For instance, they call the doshas, the dhatus, the strotras, etc. So the doshas are the different energies in the body. So if one is disturbed, then cure is not so difficult. If two or three are disturbed, then it becomes much more difficult. If the different physiological processes in the body, like the blood or the lymph, or the muscles, and the fat, and the bones, and the bone marrow, and the reproductive fluids are all disrupted, then it becomes practically impossible. And if all the channels are blocked, then you're finished. So if you understand what someone knows the science, then they can figure out what your chances are. When it's time to make some endeavor, and when it's time to quit. Also, when amelioration is, like they have hospices, when it's time to try to at least reduce the pain and the suffering from the disease rather than try and just cure it. All right, anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande. So how are we doing?